You're just a tenant in this world. All these things are yours to look after. You have to be responsible with them, no doubt. And there are, obviously, we live in a capitalist society, so going to work does earn you money. So you can use earning in a phrase like that. But you've got to remember that actually, that TV you have, that's God's. And it's much easier to be generous when we start recognizing that everything is God's right at the start. And actually, I find that helpful because I'm not very good with spatial awareness, I'll be honest. So I knock things over an awful lot. And some of those things are expensive, and then they break. And I have to just take them out back and go. I'm like, oh no, I've broken God's anyway. Which means I have to fix it because I'm being a good tenant of his stuff. I can't just throw it in the bin and pretend it never happened. So what is living a life of generosity, or what is living generously? So it is using your God-given abilities to help others. That's one thing that me and Rachel came up with. It's then where your time, money, and talents come together to meet the needs of others. So those two things don't necessarily mean the same thing, although you might think they do. Because Rachel was very wise to point out that sometimes you're not meeting a need with your generosity. Sometimes you're just being kind. So don't always assume that the person is going to be like, oh, I'm really cold and I've got no gas. Right, I can give you gas. Sometimes it's just turning up on someone's doorstep, cake. There you go. Have a nice day. See you later. Or whatever it might be. And then it's something you do all year long, not just for Christmas, hence the picture of the dog that now explains that. I think in some parts of culture, we put a focus on being generous at certain times of year. Christmas is one of the times when we often talk about being generous. But I thought it was important just to include that. So I think we need to be looking for opportunities, both for where we can use our God-given abilities and stuff to help others just because, and also looking for where we can meet people's needs. So you've already been given the greatest thing. The second part of that whole the world is the Lord's and everything in it is to then say that actually Jesus has done the most generous thing he could do. He died because we weren't good enough to go to heaven. And that's a fact. He's been generous to do that. He didn't have to do it. He was being kind. He was meeting a need because we all needed to have a relationship with God. And so when you've got the fact that everything you have isn't really yours, you're just looking after it for God, and the fact that God's already done everything for you, our response should be looking at what we have and how we use it. So I've put a few things of some areas in which we've been blessed, and I consider these things to be blessings, although sometimes you might not. So some of us are blessed with material resources, such as money, tools, cars. Some of us are blessed with skills, with time, with having great people around us. And there's some other things that I'm sure you're thinking of that I've missed. But if we consider those things a blessing to us, it's then easy to see how we can see those things are a blessing out of us. The fact that, for example, one recently, I remember helping Jono do some, my younger brother, doing some work on the outside of his house, which we couldn't do if we hadn't got Dan Boot's drill. So his drill, that is his tool, became a blessing to us, because otherwise we'd have to have done it with hammer and chisel, which would have taken us an incredible amount of time and effort. And I don't have that much effort available, sorry. Okay, so this is fine, what I've said so far, but how do we do it? And there's my dog, Jaffa, one of my dogs. And he blesses me all the time. He brings me ripped up toys and looks at me like that because he thinks that that's the best thing he could ever bring me. That one has been de-squeaked within 5 minutes of giving it to him. So that's a good one. But I don't want you to be like my dog. Please don't bring me ripped up toys. That's not being generous to me. I've got enough. So I'm going to look at the three ways of you can be generous, because I want to be practical. So the first way you could be generous is with your time. And some of us have a lot of time available to us. Some of us don't. That is a fact, right? I don't work. Therefore, I have a lot of time. I don't have kids. I'm free. So I recognize that. Now, I recognize when I talk to Matt and we're talking about doing something, I have to recognize that Matt isn't that way. He's got work and he's got kids. So he's not free as much. But that doesn't mean that Matt's never free. And that doesn't mean that I'm always free. It just means that when we're looking at being generous with our time, we're not talking about the same scale. So have that in mind when you're thinking about it. And the fact is that we all have time. We all will make time for certain things. And I'm sure if there's a certain TV program or something at the theatre that you want to get to, or your family, you make time for things, you prioritise. And so sometimes being generous with your time is going to lead to changing your priorities. And I've put a few ideas up on here for how you can be generous. Now, there's quite a few, because I thought I didn't want to just cover a few. I hate it when people stand up here and they give you two examples and then you're still left clueless. But picking somebody else's kids up from school is being generous with your time. If that's what they needed, or if that frees up time, going shopping for somebody who can't. Obviously, with the first one, by the way, there are child protection things. Don't just pick people up from school. Do speak to the parents and make sure it's okay. And the third one, find coupons or deals to help someone else, actually doesn't sound like much of a thing, but nowadays, and I know talking to Claire a lot, is that there are ways to save ridiculous amounts of money if you've got the time to go and find the things that you need to save money on. And so if you have time and you know somebody else is trying to buy something, maybe you could invest some time to find the relevant coupons or deals to help them. Rachel's dad is a great person for that one, for us. He's always finding us crazy deals. Chatting to your neighbour who might be lonely and might need a good chat, making time. In Albania, one of the things that I loved when Neil and Lou talked about was how people made time for the other people in the community. And it's one of the things I love about the street that I live on is people are like that. They've always got time to stand and chat. And listening to somebody. Sometimes people just need you to listen to them. There's volunteering, you know, doing something practical like, I mean, last 2 days there's been people from Ashwood over at the Ransoms Farm helping them move and clean and do all of those things. That's being generous with your time. Visiting people in hospital. I know there's people in here who regularly end up going to hospital for the reason of visiting people. It's generous. You don't have to do it. You do it. You go further than expected. Right, generosity with money, like time. Some of us are blessed with lots of money. Some of us are not. Some of us are blessed to have extra money than what we need. Some of us don't have much extra. So if you have extra, there's opportunity to be generous with your money. Now, an example that I quite liked was linked to the food bank, which was a suggestion online that if you go shopping and there's a smaller increase in price to buy a lot more of a product and you don't need it and it's not perishable, so it might be toilet paper or tinned food or whatever, get the extra. If it's like 50p for one or 80p for three, do it, because then you can just drop the rest into food bank. It's a small amount of money that you're being generous with, and I know it makes a big difference. So here are some others that you can do. The top ones I haven't seen as much recently, but then I don't know whether you always see that when it happens. But we've got Operation Christmas Child coming up. We've got, in the area, we've got local shelters who are always needing money to help the men and women who end up there. We've got mission trips that go out, putting a bit of money in the pot. One of the things that I've really appreciated over the years is the people in this church who give money so that the youth can go away and do stuff together and not have to pay crazy amounts of money. We have been most blessed by the people who have done that. And the church building fund, we've got this dream. If you've got extra, maybe that's some place you want to be generous with your money. I'm going to come back to money later because we're going to be talking about giving. So being generous with your skills with a Z, and the reason why it's skills with a Z is because people like me say, I got mad skills, because we're cool. But if I keep saying it, it'll be true. You know that. In this room, we have an incredible skill pool. I'm always amazed when I'm talking to people and I find out what you guys can do. I remember when helping June once and hearing her sing and going, there's this huge skill, she can sing really well. I've hung with people who have been handy who I never expected to be. And actually, there's some people here who are amazing at tidying up. The most underused skill, Rachel, there should be a click down for that. I'm not very tidy, fact. Rachel can verify that. Mum and Dad will certainly verify my years of being untidy. But there are some people who are just skilled at tidying, at welcoming, gardening, you know, baking. These are all skills where you can bless other people with your skill. So use them, because Jesus was really specific when he talked about talents, although he was talking about money. The way I read that metaphor is it's to do with just get on and use your skills. And don't just save them in for in here. It's really nice when someone says, oh, well, put your picture frames up in here, but we can also use them outwards. Being willing to help out our community could be the start of the things that change our communities. I don't think it's always easy, though, to find the opportunities with skills, because people don't always volunteer when they need a skill. They often talk about needs. We often say, oh, I can't afford this, or we need to fix that, but so maybe that's one where we have to be a bit more active in our offers. But also, if we're going to use them, we need to express to people who can use them. So it might be you've got a skill that you've been sitting on that's quite useful, and maybe you need to tell somebody else so that they can help you find ways to use it. Right, the next one I've called generosity is not slavery. I think it's an important caveat is you don't have to do this. You don't have to do any of the things I've said. It's not obligatory. If someone rings you up at 1 o'clock in the morning, like, you have to love them. You don't have to get out of bed and go and help them. If it's getting to the point where you are being exploited, then maybe it's time to look at whether you need to be generous in a different way. And I think it's worth saying, and don't want to dwell on it for a long time, but the other thing is, you need to be careful that your generosity doesn't keep somebody in a negative situation, which sounds weird, but it is very possible for me to give to somebody so much with that they never figure it out for themselves. One of the things I've appreciated from my dad is helping with DIY, but I have to stand next to him for some of it, because at some point I'm probably going to have to do it myself. You know, at the moment he's one-armed, so I have but if I needed something doing, if I hadn't have stood there, well, he'd just be instructing me. So have that in your mind as well. You know, be looking for those situations. And I think Rachel said, oh, you need some kind of warning. And so I said, well, maybe you need to have a, you know, requires wisdom to operate warning on generosity, because you've got to be aware of these situations. You've got to be aware of your own situation, because if you've got stuff to do as well, that stuff still needs to be done. And there are still priorities. There's going to be sacrifices, but there's a point where you can't sacrifice further without causing damage sometimes. So hopefully you've got the idea. Time, money, skill, think about it. What have you got? What have you got extra of? What are you blessed with a bounty of? For me, bounty of time. For others in here, it might be skills, it might be money. And they are all good things. When we're talking about money, we have to talk about some form of giving. And I've started this section with giving back to God, because I think it recognizes the fact that God has given it to you. And the Matthew verse here, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There's a part of me that feels like just sitting down now and saying, that's it, giving's done. Because I think that says a lot. If your money, if your other skills that you should be using are not here, then maybe your heart actually isn't here. Or maybe your heart is there, but at the moment there's a contradiction between those two. Maybe your heart really is here, but you haven't actually migrated the other thing to being here. And maybe that's something you need to think about. And maybe your treasure's here. Maybe your heart's taking a moment to catch up. It is entirely possible. I'm not going to tell you where you're at, because that's not for me to say. So, recognizing some people in the room maybe haven't been a Christian that long, I've entitled the next one, Christianese Word of the Day, which I think is a phrase we should use more in church. Christianese not being a real word, but... So, tithe. You hear people mention tithing. We like saying tithe. It's a satisfying word to say. But what does it mean? Dictionary defines it as 1/10 of annual produce or earnings formerly taken as a tax for the support of the church and clergy. So there was a time when it was actually dealt with like taxation. But that's not the heart of what we're trying to do. And that's why it's about giving back. It's not being taken from. So ideally this would mean that the things that you grow or earn, 10% of that would be cut off. And it was originally the first 10%. So for us it would be thinking at before tax, because the first 10% goes to God. It's a bit different because we don't have a temple anymore. We don't who have priests who live in it who are supported by the tithe in some ways, because they had an entire system going on. Maybe bringing your 10% of your produce isn't so useful. Especially if you're like an accountant. I don't know what, take 10% of a spreadsheet, send that in. It's not so useful. But it's worth saying that this is for everyone at some point. And I'm going to talk a bit about how and when. So 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, with a bit of editing, says, whoever sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. And then goes on to say, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So being a cheerful giver, it's really not about happy feelings. It doesn't work that way around. It's not, I put the money in, oh, I feel good, yay. Though that might happen, it's a decision to be cheerful. It's going, this is my money, this is what I have. Actually, you know what, I want to give it to God. This much. Yes. And we're going to watch a little video of one man's expression of cheerful giving. Okay, so next week, everybody out on the dance floor. Maybe not quite. We're down to the one with the cheerful. Now, Rachel will tell you, though, that when I'm cheerful, even when I'm at my most ecstatic, like when we got our puppy this year, when the new Star Wars movie was announced, those kind of moments, that's not what I do, okay? And those who saw me on my wedding day didn't see me doing that around the church, because that's not how I express my cheerfulness. So cheerfulness is relative, and not all relatives are cheerful. That was just a lovely little switch around. So I don't really expect what that guy was doing, but I think it's important to reflect on what you give and make sure that you're giving cheerfully. But don't get too somber like British people sometimes do. You know, it's worth, Janet said last week, I think when we were passing the balls around, to think about what you are putting in if you are giving by direct debit. You're still giving as that bowl comes by, it's just done somewhere else. Oh, sorry, not direct debit. Standing order, yes. we had this conversation last night. I can't believe I forgot. So be aware, and it's also very easy when it's being done by standing order, to not think on the Sunday about what you're giving and to get into a routine where it just goes. I think even when it's going by standing order, we still need to be cheerful when we're giving. So actually, when you open your bank, like for me, online banking, and you see it's gone, it's not, oh, it's gone. It should be, yes, work of God. Right, that's what that's doing. That's my first portion. Right, in Luke 21:1-4, Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the offering box, and he saw a poor widow put in two small copper coins. And he said, "Truly I tell you this, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they all contributed out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all she had to live on." It's not about how much we give. It's not. It will sometimes be a sacrifice. And those given more have more responsibility. I can't remember which bit of Luke. Is it Luke 4? Where it says, those given more is expected of them. So bear that in mind. If you are somebody who maybe your household income is very, very small, if you put in something very, very small, that is not insignificant. Because to God, that is worth, I mean, Jesus just said it then, that she has contributed out of her poverty all that she had to live on, and he puts that as greater. And I think sometimes in church we get a tendency to talk about, wouldn't it be nice if a rich person came along with a pocket full of cash and he could buy us out of all the problems that we've got? You know, it's relatively cool in here today. We know winter is coming. And the temptation is to think, oh, if we just had a millionaire who could come in, buy us a new building, done, solved. But actually, God's not as much impressed by that as when you reach into your pocket in that time and think, you know what, I'm not going to eat any chocolate this week. I'm going to put a bit more in the offering bowl. You know, out of your poverty, that impresses God. Now, please don't give to the point where you are actually starving. That's not useful. And also think, if you're well off, don't be put down by this. It just means you've got a greater responsibility to give. You know, you need to really think about your giving. And actually, one of the things me and Rachel talked about a fair bit recently when we were talking about this was about the fact that rich people can also be poor, because your margins can also be minute. You know, if you've got a huge house and a huge mortgage or huge debts, then you might not have a lot extra. So also bear that in mind when you're thinking about this and maybe judging yourself. Don't judge yourself. So I want to look at two little phrases that I see on people's faces when we talk about giving. And the first one, I've edited to say, I'm really struggling financially, should I give? Or I think I had it originally with, I've got nothing, I can't afford 10%. I think it's just worth pointing out to you guys that is entirely possible. and recognize that right now you might not have any money to give. But then we need to look at ways that you can give. How can you create some margins? One way is looking at the CAP budgeting course, which Zoe, who's over there, Tamsin, who I think is out, and Rachel Rareton, all have been trained to deliver this course, where they can help you to budget in a way that might release some money for giving. Speaking to life group leaders, talking to my parents last night, they were saying when they started tithing, it wasn't easy because they didn't have extra. But it was about starting, and hopefully it becomes much easier. And I think as well, just to say that this is, being in this situation isn't a negative thing from a church point of view. You're not going to be condemned if you admit that this is where you're at. Like, actually, we really want to help you. We've got a lot, like the Bible's got a lot of time for people who are struggling financially. It talks about them quite a lot. So, the second person is a person who's never given before. Hopefully, some of you who have become Christians recently are now thinking, maybe I've never given before. Some of you might have been here a while and never given before. 10% might seem like a big step. So, there are ways to break in easily. And the way that when I was teaching money stuff at school, sponsored by a certain bank, we were encouraged to help people, was to tell them to start giving small but regular. So maybe you need to give £1 a week, £5 a week, £50 a week, relative to your income. Add other options. See how your attitude to what you have changes. You might find that putting in £1 a week for a month, at the end of the month, you actually feel like you had more than you had last month, even though the reality is the same. Maybe then the next month you crank it up to a £5 a week. Maybe you find after a year you're up to 10%. If you set yourself an unrealistic target straight away, the chances are you'll fail, because that's human nature. Whereas if you start yourself with small, something that you know you can break the back of that mental issue, you can get through it. And I think we need to be accountable. And that doesn't just mean the people who ask this question. I think sometimes we need to just have a health check where we turn to someone. It might be our partner. It might be a significant person in your world, and just say, you know, can you just look at my finances and make sure that I am giving, and just give me a checkup? It might help. And that's the same way I'd start with things like car funds. If you want to save up for a car or a house, you don't start by trying to find £1,000 a month, because you're probably not going to find it. I certainly couldn't find anywhere near that. So, those are the two people I wanted to just highlight, because I know some people might sit there going, oh, that's me. Right, where have we been? So we've talked about what I have it is, generosity, talk about time, skills, and money, and we talk about giving back to God where your heart is. So we're going to run into the final thoughts, which if you skip down twice, because I never found a picture. Sorry. So give, and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, and we put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. This reference is a cultural reference. It doesn't make much sense if you haven't got the culture. So before we had standardized weight systems and standardized lengths, when you bought something, you bought an amount, and it was a measurement. And that measurement depended on the person you were buying from. And you hope they're honest. So if you bought a yard of cord, you hope that their yardstick was the same as the guy next door. Now, it's very easy for them to have had a shorter one and make more money out of you. Or if it was a cup they were giving you flour, if they used a small cup and a small measure. So a modern day version of this, which I thought would be appreciated in Britain, is if I said, one mug of tea, what does that mean to you? So if someone comes round to your house and you give them a mug of tea, at least my mum's, you get a China teacup and you get nice tea rather than quantity. But I know some people, quantity is the thing. So And I think actually putting it into this sort of analogy, with your generosity and with your giving, which of these mugs represents where you're at? Are you somebody who is currently measuring your generosity out in a measly way, or are you being really generous with your generosity? Fantastic sentence. And grabbing a big mug. So my final closing statement is just, how big is your mug? # living a life of generosity.
Well, let's just thank Ron, join with Ronnie and thanking Owen for his... When I talked to Owen, he said he had lots of thoughts and ideas that he could share with us on this topic of generosity. And I think you'll agree there's plenty there for us to think about. And I guess one of the things that I would say is that talking about giving, particularly in finances, is one of those topics that we're aware of that sometimes is a bit taboo. But actually, there is some... Jesus talked about it all the time, which is a good reason for us to consider it being a topic of great importance. And actually, we want to come against, don't we, sometimes the culture, the things in our world where there are topics which we don't feel we can speak about or talk into. And I think one of the reasons we're cautious about it is because we don't want the message to get out. The thing that we're not saying is, we will only love you if you give us your money. That kind of sentence, that kind of statement. And actually, Owen's totally right, that the important thing before we talk about anything to do with money, time, treasure or talents, is we talk about our heart. And that's actually, if you notice that Owen's explained brilliantly, that's the thing that Jesus was saying. Actually, there is this strong connection between heart and what we have. And sometimes the way that we can actually take a health check on our heart is to also have a look, it's the flip side, isn't it? It's to look at where our time, treasure and our talents are. So there's some food for thought, but please make sure you don't go home hearing the message that wasn't said this morning, because that I think is really important. And of course, Owen mentioned some of the areas that we want to be. You know, if you say, what does it look like for us to live a life of generosity? What does that look like for you and for me? And of course, we have a personal and a very individual response to that. That we, if you're like me, I want to make sure I get it right. Anybody else? But of course, we also want to be a community of people that says, well, what does it look like if Ashwood Church is the most generous church that we could be? What would that look like? What could it look like? And of course, some of us have responsibility for putting things in place to make sure that we make decisions that as church, corporate church, we believe are right and we believe are healthy. And of course, finances is only one small area of that, but there is a group of people, the trustees, who help consider the responsibility that we have with what we do with our finances corporately. And that's a responsibility that they take seriously and we take seriously, because we work together from a leadership point of view with the trustees to make the best healthy decisions that we can make. But of course, we want to be, don't we, a church that is incredibly generous with all that we have. And I don't know about you, but I am blown away often by the generosity of individuals, but also the generosity of church as we give. Because actually, the world is crying out for a group of people who can give beyond themselves. A world that is centered around self and a natural inclination of self could be transformed and changed, couldn't it? By a group of people, the church, who give generously out of all that they have. With time, treasure and talents, all of that. So let's take a moment, then we'll wrap up. Father, I just pray this morning as we respond to you, as we always want to do, that you would search our hearts. You know our hearts better than we know them ourselves. That you would cause those things that you're reminding us of, some of us this morning. Maybe there are some new things that you're revealing to us. But God, first and foremost, we want to be people who are generous with our heart. We want to be people who make good and healthy choices in our lives with our heart. And Lord, we know that when we do that, other things will become aligned and will catch up with where our heart is at. And Lord, I pray, my prayer is this morning that you would give us a picture of what it looks like to be a generous group of people. Not that we leave this place feeling discouraged, but actually that you encourage each one of us with what you've given us and the part that we can play in being generous to others. Amen. One final thought, because sometimes people email me or remind me afterwards. If you're here this morning and you've heard all of this and you say, actually, I'd love to be, tell me what do I need to do to find a way of giving into church, because sometimes we talk about it and then we fail to make it clear, then maybe it's a good opportunity to talk to the trustees. We've got a couple of trustees down here. Elaine, who's just raising up her hand, and Simon, who's got a hand and a pot this morning that he can wave. Lisa, who is one of our zones leaders. She's gone out to zones, but she looks after the finances in terms of administration for us. You can speak to one of those and they'll help you. Of course, we do some great stuff, gift aid and all kinds of things that we can put in place. But let's be a group of people who are being healthy, giving generously, loving one another. Amen. Have a great week. God bless you. Next Sunday morning, we've got a special guest with us, a guy called Roger Bretherton. Some of you will know him. He's a great speaker, a great friend of ours. He's going to come and speak to us. Let's make sure that we are here for that. Don't forget notices, information, if there are things you want to connect into. That'd be great. See you soon.